Rockies to the Rockies. You're on the air. Good morning.
Hi, Art.
Hello. Where are you, sir?
I'm in Ohio.
Ohio?
Yeah.
Right.
I live in a small farm town, and I'm currently writing a book based on my findings.
A book?
A book.
All right.
It all began when my grandfather was preparing to pass away back in 1990.
Preparing to pass away? You mean he knew he was going to die, and so...
Well, yeah, he was living in an old folks' home, and he had cancer that had pretty much eaten away at most of his body.
I hear you.
And pretty much most of the things that he said, people just took as erratic rambling. But during his, I guess, last month or so, I spent a lot of time with him. And he used to be chief in the small farm town that I live in. And when I say small, I mean...
What do you mean, chief? You mean police chief?
Chief of police.
All right.
And when I say small, I mean really small. Anyway, you have to forgive me because I'm scared to death just talking to you right now.
Don't worry.
he was telling me about an instance. He would lay on his bed and he would say, "All the children are dead."
All the children are dead.
All the children are dead.
Uh-huh.
And he looked at me and he said, "Do you believe in monsters? Do you believe in demons?" I just thought, well, he's probably getting ready to pass over and he's scared. He's questioning his own mortality. He's
right.
Wondering where he's going from here.
Makes sense.
And then he began a story that began in 1966 when in the small town that I live in, there were 74 children murdered over a summer.
Oh.
At first, they were missing. I guess it would be wrong to say that they were murdered immediately. They were missing, one right after another. It soon got to the point where parents were not letting their children go out to play at nighttime.
That would occur very quickly. I mean, 74 children in a small community is a very, very, very large number.
And, well, yeah, but it was in ranging age.
Right.
From probably 6 or 7 to high school.
Mm-hmm.
And parents began keeping their children home from school.
Mm-hmm.
And my grandfather was the chief of police at the time. And there were two kids who had went out to an old hydraulic plant that we have on the outskirts of our village.
Right.
And I guess they were going out there to play around and just really get into things.
Kind of thing we all did when we were kids.
They broke the lock on the old hydraulic plant.
Mm-hmm.
And they went in. And I guess it was just a matter of exploration. And
well, of course, a hydraulic plant would be a really interesting place to explore as a kid.
Oh, yeah. And I mean, it has been closed down since the early 1900s.
Like cemeteries. They're interesting to explore at night, too, when you're a kid.
Oh, absolutely.
For the same reason we're here tonight.
Well, they went in there, and in the combine pits, they discovered mutilated carcasses floating in top of water from the river.
Oh, my
dozens,
God.
Dozens and dozens upon dozens. And the stench,
of mutilated corpses.
Yeah. And, of course, they ran out, and they sent my They, of course, you know, they ran to the police station. The chief thought it was a prank, so he sent his deputy down there, and the deputy went in, and he went into one of the rooms that has just, it's a cylindrical room with just a massive pit in the middle.
Right.
And inside, there was just bodies on top of bodies covering the ground, covering the perimeter, and he had his gun outspread. He heard footsteps in there.
I hear that.
And he was terrified. And he was listening, and he could hear whispers and giggling and things such as that. And he walked into the cylindrical room, and he saw movement like a mole burrowing beneath the ground, beneath the carcasses.
Oh, my
well,
God.
The deputy decided to be smart and pretended to leave, closing the door behind him.
Yes.
And actually, he stayed on the inside of the door and knelt down in the darkness.
And waited.
With his flashlight in one hand, right, and his gun outspread in the other.
Right.
And that's when he heard the footsteps coming up the little ladder. And immediately when he saw the silhouette
of the... coming up out of the pit?
Out of the pit, yes. The ladder out of the pit.
I got you.
Sorry. And immediately when he saw the silhouette appear over the edge,
yes.
He turned on his flashlight, shining the light into the perpetrator's face with his guns outspread, and found it to be his own 13-year-old son.
Oh.
And he was sporting a weapon, which we commonly know as a hay knife, I guess.
A hay knife?
They used to bale hay.
Well, that would be a pitchfork, right?
Well, they usually use two, I guess, and they shove the spears into the side of the hay and then bale it up on a truck.
Right.
In bales. Anyway, he told his son, you know, put down the weapon. You don't understand what you're doing. He didn't understand, I guess. Anyway, his son attacked him, and the deputy was forced to shoot him. Well, what came about was a huge cover-up that involved doctors, that involved the police themselves, and the whole town was kind of left in the dark.
And that's what your grandfather was talking about when he said all the children are dead.
All the children are dead.
God, what a story. And that cover-up continues, I take it.
That cover-up continues until I found evidence.
Oh, evidence. Hold on. We'll get right back to you. All right, so arising from the pit was the police officer's own son.
Correct.
Apparently the perpetrator of this horrible, horrible, horrible thing. And he did what?
Well, he was attacked by his son.
And?
He was attacked by a son who was clearly not in his own mind. And the deputy was forced to shoot him once in the head.
I see.
Therefore, killing him. The details I collected for my grandfather were sporadically. I mean, at different times, I had to piece it all together, in increments. But anyway, the townspeople after this came out wouldn't let the boy be buried in my little town.
I understand that.
They refused, and you must understand that this town has very Christian roots. We have 6 churches.
I understand that, too. I live in a similar small town.
So what ensued was, I guess, an uprising against the family, and the deputy's family was supposedly a Christian family. He had, of course, a son, the son that was, of course, the perpetrator of all these murders, and 2 other children,
mm-hmm.
younger children, with his wife, Mary. But anyway, as the story goes on, they buried the boy somewhere outside of town. Nobody really could tell me where. My grandfather really couldn't even tell me where because nobody attended the funeral.
Mm-hmm.
They got the local grave digger to dig the grave, but there was no preacher that the deputy could find to give a sermon.
Can imagine.
And so therefore, the town literally had an uprising against the family of this boy. And the father, the deputy, couldn't handle it, I guess.
Of course. I mean, visiting the sins of the son upon the family.
He went into the woods, and as the story went, and the way my grandfather told it, he shot himself. He shot himself, and nobody found him until the next day. He apparently had all been too much for him.
Sure.
The wife kept secluding herself in her house with her children, locked in her bedroom, swearing that her family was possessed, haunted by an evil. She drew crucifixes on the walls. She did all sorts of she kind of just went out of her head.
I hear you.
The state came and took her children away from her and eventually locked her up in a sanitarium, where I'm not sure, but I believe she died in 1989.
Has it occurred to you, as it certainly has to me listening to this, that she may have been absolutely right?
Yes, it has. It absolutely has.
In other words, that there was a curse, that whatever it is, some entity, some something, had entered that boy and was with the rest of the family. I mean, the story you just told is one of, certainly of evil, isn't it?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
Incredible.
The story is nonetheless explosive. Because in a turn of events, what had happened was the young son, what I had come to find out, the young son, through my grandfather, the young son, the boy, had in turn not been the killer. But to evade exposure of his acts, the deputy was forced to kill his own son. Because his son was kind of, I guess, slow and followed him.
Oh, my God.
To this place and discovered the deeds of his father.
Yes, oh, my God.
What and therefore was so terrified of his own father.
I've got you.
Was so terrified of his own father that to attack him was only instinctive for his survival.
Good Lord. You know, you could make a movie out of that. Holy mackerel, what a story. I appreciate your call, sir.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. Thank you. Whew, what a twist at the end, huh? Are you overweight? Would you like to lose?